Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
This is not a negotiation. I'm running this team because the Reinsdorfs want me to, and I'm going to run it that I think is best.
And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
I think your play is embarrassing. The pro player thing, this is basketball.
Follow Locked On Bulls on social media. On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Pat. And on Facebook, at Facebook.com/LockedOnChiBulls.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, streaming live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on social media on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and on Instagram, at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your voicemails, drop your text messages. I know you're going to have a ton to react to today. We've got the press conference at 2 p.m. today with John Paxson and likely, maybe not, more people. So we'll find out. All your reaction, though, immediately after that press conference and going into the next 24 hours, we want to hear from you. So hit us up, 331-979-1369. Matt, we made it. We made it through the second year of the rebuild. It's accomplishments. I felt like this year was a lot more difficult to get through than last year's was, but we're here.
It feels like a lifetime that it's taken us to get here. You look back and think where we were when the season began. Like Bobby Portis, Justin Holiday, Wendell Carter, LaVine, and Cameron Payne was our starting lineup on opening.
That's
night.
Wild.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable.
I mean, three of those five guys are gone. We lost one of those guys in January with a season-ending injury, and so many other things have happened over the course of the season. And it's obviously, as you said, it's not what most Bulls fans were hoping for or expecting to see. Five fewer wins in the second year of the rebuild than in year one. I think as even realists like myself were expecting at least a little bit of a bump in wins, assuming a fully healthy season from LaVine, and some development of players like Markkanen and other guys on the roster. Just didn't happen. There was a lot of chaos, a coaching change, a lot of players coming and going, and it's hard to establish any kind of continuity or rhythm when that's the kind of stuff you're dealing with. And I'm trying to remain optimistic about the offseason and what will come in year three. I still feel really good about getting Otto Porter. I feel like we saw some good things from Zach and from Lowry this year. We saw some really good things from Wendell before he got hurt. There is some promise, but it just, it was definitely a brutal season, and I'm glad it's done. And I'm really looking forward to the NBA playoffs too.
Yeah, me too. I think the NBA playoffs are going to be fantastic. And like you said, this was a season that we knew, in the back of our minds coming into September, we knew this could be an avenue. This could happen. Everything could unravel. If everything goes as bad as possible, which I would say, I think for the most part this season's over. Injuries played a massive part in why. If we look ahead to the offseason and we look ahead to the next season, I think you're right. I think there's a lot of things to be positive about. I think Otto Porter Jr., the addition there, I think having a draft pick this summer that's going to be likely, cross our fingers, in the top four, and if we get lucky enough, maybe even the number one or the number two pick. So important offseason. Matt, I want to get your thoughts on what you think might be said today. So between John Paxson and if Gar Forman is going to speak, we're not really sure about that yet, but what he's likely to say after this entire season. I know he tried to explain the best he could and things went south the last time he tried to do this at the trade deadline. So just kind of reflecting back on everything that you said at the in September and even a year ago from today, what do you think the tone's going to be like, and how do you think he's going to approach some of these questions?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he's going to say a lot of things that we've heard. We heard him say a year ago, I feel like we are in a much better position than we are now compared to a year ago.
You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. And we knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult. And we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today and starting this summer.
Meaning, you know, before they made the Jimmy trade and started over. I think you'll still hear various expressions of optimism from Paxson. You're absolutely going to hear him cite the fact that once again this season injuries were a big hindrance to what they were able to do, developing this core and evaluating their young talent. I would, in fact, not be surprised if we don't, you know, if we hear Paxson mention injuries multiple times, addressing multiple questions. I think from what I've heard, it will be John Paxson and only John Paxson. I have heard, as of right now, the plan is for only John Paxson to speak and Gar Forman to probably be present, but not at the podium fielding questions, which has kind of been the norm for the last year or so, compared to the old days when Gar would join Paxson and fielding questions. As far as some of the harder questions that Paxson will likely be asked, like, you know, Cowley's going to ask some zingers. Hell, Cowley might even ask why Gar isn't up at the podium fielding questions with John Paxson, knowing Joe Cowley.
I mean, isn't that a good question, though? Like, if you think about it, I mean, he was at the podium when they made this deal. I get it. It was a trade, and he's more involved with that than anything else. But even still, we're 2 months away from the NBA draft and only a month outside of the NBA lottery. I feel like people are, you know, even with as many questions going on with this season, I feel like there's going to be some questions about what their angle is in the draft and the positioning and all of that, and especially free agency this summer. Like, if that's Gar's position, then I don't know. I feel like he should be at least up to me. I think it would be a valid question to ask, right?
Well, yeah, one of many. You could also ask, yes. Like, you know, it would be nice to hear from Gar Forman what he feels about the Fred Hoiberg experiment that was his hire that failed. It would be nice to hear from Gar about the fact that for an entirety of a season, when played out of necessity, Felicio, his guy and his contract that Gar was so proud of, was a walking punchline. There are plenty of things that you would like to ask Gar Forman, and John Paxson and perhaps other people within that organization feel like it is in their best interest that Paxson is the one representing them when dealing with the media and answering these questions. Now, you know, I take issue with that, and I think you do too. I think it's fair to take issue with that, but I would not expect the recent trend of Paxson talking and Gar hiding to change today. I fully expect that that will be the case, and yeah, it's frustrating. Especially considering that Michael Reinsdorf continuously voices his support, not just for John Paxson, but for Gar Forman, and says these guys are very good in their respective roles. Their roles are well defined. I don't get why people lump them together. Well, Bulls fans are confused a lot of the time about who does what and who is accountable for what and who's responsible for what. So in that sense, it's probably going to be a very familiarly disappointing day for Bulls fans who are anticipating this press conference and hoping to hear something different from the norms that we have heard for years, and we won't.
I mean, at this point, I don't really know what they could say that would make anything better, right? At this, like, at this very point, outside of people rolling their eyes at February and them using that kind of as a crutch and saying, well, look what we did here in February, which is fine. Lauri Markkanen and Zach LaVine had career months, and the Bulls looked really good then. But it was everything else leading up to that that I think needs to kind of be addressed and aired out, and finally, once and for all, just hopefully there's a little bit of honesty behind it, because I felt like any time that they tried to get asked about this at the trade deadline, it's kind of brushed off, or they were a little bit combative and defensive about the questions that were being asked. So you would hope with roughly about 2 months of kind of staying away from the media that reevaluate some things, and the approach today is a little bit little less hostile than maybe it was at the beginning of February. But yeah, I think they're going to touch on Otto Porter too. But the most curious thing I think everybody's wondering is how they're going to approach questions about Jim Boylan. Do you think they're going to come out, if it's just John Paxson, do you think he's going to come out and say directly, Jim Boylan is our head coach next season, we signed him, he's under contract, and that's who we'll be going with going forward? Or we really like Jim and kind of leave themselves a little bit of an escape if something does pop up in the next few weeks or the next couple of months this summer?
I mean, I think what will happen is that John Paxson will say, Jim Boylan is our coach, and Jim Boylan will be our coach next season.
You know, we believe Jim will be able to affect change, hopefully quickly. But this is not we're not putting a Band-Aid on anything. Jim is our head coach, and we expect him to be our head coach going forward, and we're going to give him every opportunity to succeed here.
That's what I think we're going to hear. I would like it if they left themselves some wiggle room, but at the same time, I also think it's not necessarily a black and white kind of thing, where if John Paxson says Jim Boylan will be our coach next season, that it prevents any potential for the Bolts to make a coaching change next season. I know it's hard to have, as you know, not only are injuries a thing that prevented any continuity and chemistry and growth this season, but a coaching change midseason also does that and prevents growth and chemistry and development. So I feel like it would be really tough for this team and for these young players if they went through back-to-back seasons where they had a coaching change mid-season. So to me, it seems like the Bulls are not probably thrilled about that idea, which means, as of right now, what they hope is that the young team continues to buy in and play hard for Jim Boylan and listen to what he has to say and embraces him as their head coach, so that they can get through another season. Boylan's contract will be up at the end of next year. I hope to God that there's no multi-year extension that happens at some point during the season next year, and then maybe we get to a point where they explore a coaching change around this time next year. But as far as what we're probably going to hear today, Paxson is going to unequivocally support Jim Boylan. But we also heard the same kind of stuff when they were talking about Fred, and then they fired him. So, like, it doesn't matter what they say, because they can completely turn around and do something different.
Right, and it doesn't just go for coaches, it goes for players, too. You see what happened to Bobby Portis at the deadline.
Exactly.
So, yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be taking everything that we hear from them with a grain of salt, too, because, like, even if you just go back and listen or watch the press conference from literally a year ago, there's a lot of things that were said in that press conference that I don't think have come true over a year's time. One being about Chris Dunn.
I feel really good about going into next season with Chris Dunn as our starter and Cameron Payne as our backup.
And even with the injuries and all of that, they felt comfortable where he was at. And there's just a couple other things too in there that I was like, really? I know they addressed the Jabari Parker signing in early February, but I wonder if that's going to circle back. Same thing with maybe some mistakes like Cameron Payne.
They're definitely going to get a question about Jabari. Absolutely.
And they should. They should.
Yes.
Because I felt like that was brushed off pretty quickly. Like, not brushed off, but like they kind of rushed through it and gave very vague answers, you know?
And I guarantee you that part of their response to questions about was Jabari a failure, was the Jabari signing a failure, and can you sit here and admit to us that that was a mistake, their spin will be, well, Jabari's contract allowed us to get Otto Porter Jr. Look, we shit in our hands, and the shit magically turns to gold. That is what you will hear. And I'm sorry, I can't give them credit for that. That's hindsight. Like, there is still no denying that signing Jabari in the first place was a terrible idea. It didn't make sense. He didn't fit. He was a dude with two ACL tears who they paid $20 million for, who did not even come close to have done anything in his NBA career to earn that contract. And so much, and see, as far as like what we expect to hear versus what we would like to hear, what I would like to hear is John Paxson say, well, Jabari is a Chicago kid with a really great story. He's had a tough couple of years to start his NBA career. We thought it would be a nice fresh start for him, welcome him home. And by the way, it probably was maybe not at the back of our minds, but closer to the front of our minds, that signing Jabari would create some buzz around our fan base that is really unhappy with us right now. It'll sell some jerseys and it'll put some butts in some seats at the United Center. And that is the whole truth about signing Jabari. Yeah, maybe we'll add a young talented piece because that's what we're in right now is a talent accumulation mode. How many times have we heard that? They'll probably say that again today too. But boy, it sure would be nice if for once they actually didn't treat us like idiots and told us, yeah, Jabari didn't work out. It was mostly a PR stunt move to create some buzz, just like Dwayne Wade was. They both were terrible signings. Our bad. Even if they have no accountability because they have loyalty for life from the Reinsdorfs, to at least hear them say, our bad.
I think they're going to use it in a way, too, as far as the Otto Porter trade, too. They're going to say, well, if we didn't have Jabari, we probably couldn't have traded for Otto Porter Jr. because we wouldn't have the money to match. And they're going to use that as a spin, too, which...
Right.
Fine, whatever, but that's not an... That, you didn't know that you were going to have Otto Porter a potential opportunity to trade for somebody at the deadline when you signed it back in July. So if that's something that's said that I'm going to... Like,
before John Wall's injury news came out, Otto Porter was off limits because we knew that the Bulls had been expressing interest for a couple of years in Otto and made calls to Washington about his availability. And Washington said, no, he's not available. So it's not like they could say that the entire time. Well, the plan was to trade Jabari midseason and get Otto Porter, or even to say not even specifically Otto, but some other player on a big contract and needing Jabari's contract to match.
It's kind of funny when you think about it.
And if they try to tell us that that was their plan all along, I'm not buying it.
If the Wizards and John Wall specifically doesn't go down with that injury, Jabari Parker and Bobby Portis are most likely still on this roster, right? Like, considering everything we knew about their value on the trade market, especially Jabari's trade value, he was almost zero at the time. And I felt like the Wizards just needed to get out of that cap space, and that was part of the reason why they were pressed to do that. And look at the guy that made the move, too, Ernie Grunfeld. That was, I think, his last trade that he made. And he was fired a month later, so...
Let's also remember that... And, you know, we kind of got whisperings about this leading up to the deadline, and then we got more information over the last week or so. Before they made this amazing auto trade that they will absolutely take credit for today, they had a deal in place with the Lakers... to send Jabari to the Lakers for Michael Beasley and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Who were high on.
And the only reason that didn't happen is because KCP, for some reason, got a got a trade veto clause in his contract, and he said no. So the Bulls were about to make a move that, wait, really? Like, would anyone be happy with, like, I mean, getting rid of Jabari made me happy, obviously, but... with Michael Beasley and KCP?
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Who were high on.
I mean, Michael Beasley's in China right now. Like, that's where he ended up.
And KCP is way overrated, in my opinion. So that's the move they wanted to make and were on the way to making until a player used their trade veto to shoot down that trade, and then the Lakers turned their focus to Anthony Davis. And then, and only then, were the Bulls able to have this Otto Porter Jr. trade fall into their lap. Because of a GM who was just recently fired, because for the Wizards, yeah, you got off Otto's money, but that was a pretty bad trade.
How much you want to bet KCP is going to, there's going to be talks between him and the Bulls this summer? He's an unrestricted free agent this summer. And I get he's tied with Clutch Sports and maybe he'll go back to the Lakers, but still, Brian Windhorst said they were high on him. They were about to make a deal for him. Anything else that you think that's going to pop up throughout this interview? I hope they're a little bit more real than they have been. And that's asking a lot, but I hope they're a little bit more real and it's less combative than it was 2 months ago when it was at the trade deadline. You know, I hope they're willing to make to admit some of the mistakes that they made and maybe learn from some of the blow-up and the backlash that they got after the Otto Porter trade. And it wasn't specifically about him, but it was the radio interviews that blew up and then the press conference, too, where they felt very defensive. I don't know if they're going to get the same pressure that they had 2 months ago, just because I think a lot of people are tuned out now with the Cubs season going on. Baseball started and just people don't really care what happened at the end of this season, considering the G League team. So I think that's where I sit. It's just I want a little bit of honesty. They don't have to be honest about everything and don't have to be upfront and transparent about literally everything today. But show me something. Give me a little bit more honesty than you gave me 2 months ago.
Yeah, and I mean, as long as we're dreaming. The other thing that would be nice is if John Paxson, in the realest way possible, addressed a question involving what he talked about in that contentious interview on 670 with McNeil and Parkins about this perception that his organization has across the league right now that he claims doesn't exist, but also if it does exist, then what can we do about it? The perception that the front office is untrustworthy, the front office and ownership have no loyalty to their players, they are an embarrassment, a laughingstock, they have a coach that nobody wants to play for, according to a recent poll. All of the things collectively over the last handful of years that have built up this negative perception of a once proud franchise, a six title franchise, the legend of Michael Jordan, the legend of Scottie, the legend of the biggest team in sports globally in basketball. How is it that your team has this horrible perception across the league? Nobody respects you. You made an Otto Porter deal because you admitted to your fan base and to the media that you wouldn't be able to sign any free agents this summer because right now nobody wants to come here. All of that, John Paxson. You said in an interview earlier this year, you don't agree that there is a negative perception about your team across the league. You would never say anything bad about other teams. That's other people's business if they want to slander other teams. But I don't agree that there's a negative perception, and if so, there's nothing we can do about it. Please, follow up on that, because to me, that's bullshit, and we would like a better answer.
You know, the weird Robin Lopez stance that he had, I think, is a cause to bring up and talk about him, too. It's like you didn't buy him out. Robin Lopez didn't really ask for a buyout. What's going to go on with him this summer? I want to hear multiple questions about Chris Dunn too. I really do. I want to know what they're thinking. Like maybe they won't tell us. Maybe they'll be very vague about it, and we won't understand more until later in this summer. But dude, that was a critical. That's a critical piece that they've been pitching for almost 2 years to Bulls fans as a part of this core, and now it's looking like he's not even going to be in the starting rotation, let alone maybe even not even on this team by the start of next year. Like that, those are real possibilities. So I want to know from his perspective some of those fringe questions: Lopez, Dunn, Archie Diacono, Shaq Harrison, and some of these other guys that are not going to be around, but you still have to make major decisions on this summer. And on top of that, Matt, I want to know about the health and what they're going to do to kind of combat some of that. Because let's be honest here, there was two injuries this summer that turned from, or not this summer, but this season, that turned from 3 to 4 week injury, then there was a setback, then there was another setback, and then the season's over. Denzel Valentine, the first one. Chandler Hutchison, the second one. And all the injuries that have stacked up all season long. I want to hear a question about that. Something along the lines of, with the amount of injuries that you guys have dealt with this year and even back last year in the rebuild, and having a limited amount of time for your core to play together, do you have to start reevaluating the way that you're approaching injuries and the way you're approaching getting guys back and how they're developing and ultimately how they're trying to stay healthy? I want a question about that, because I think that is a major concern with this team. And I get some of it's unlucky and some of it's just part of the game, but there's some serious cause for concern there too. And I want to know what they're going to do to try and improve that or combat some of these injuries.
Right. And maybe along those lines, question about, do you plan on making any changes to your strength and conditioning staff and your medical staff? And if not, why the hell not? because whatever is the norm for the last few years ain't working. Yes, every team deals with injuries, but you look across the league, you look what the Bulls have endured the last couple of years, and yes, a couple of them are fluky. Lowry getting his elbow jammed on a rebound at training camp. Chris Dunn falling on his face on a dunk last season. But outside of that, some of it is just injuries that happen to basketball players, but the Bulls seem to have them at a much higher alarming rate. So why is that? And maybe instead of just keeping the norm, try reaching out and hiring better people who are better at their jobs. Why, like, why is that such a crazy idea? But I mean, like, some of it is players, right? Some of it was the Bulls drafted a very Bulls draft pick in Denzel Valentine a few years ago, a several-year player from a blue-chip program like Michigan State, who was already having knee and ankle issues as a college player. And they said, but we really like this kid. We're going to draft him. And guess what? Denzel Valentine has not had a stretch of healthy basketball for more than what? Like a couple months? Over 4 years in the league? 3 years in the league? So that part of that is poor drafting. They picked a guy who was injury plagued. What did I tell you, Jordan, back in September when we were first getting word about Denzel Valentine? I said, whatever they're telling us timeline wise, it's going to be longer. I guarantee you. And I said, I believe I even said, I'll go back and look, that I wouldn't be surprised if Denzel didn't play at all this season. Lo and behold, didn't play at all this season. So, yes, absolutely, they need to be asked about their medical strength and conditioning staff and why it is that they are so injury-plagued over the last couple of years.
It's a good point. You did say that. I remember that specifically because I think I remember saying to you, let's hope that doesn't happen. Let's knock on wood, cross our fingers that our season doesn't start with knocking one person off this roster, especially on your bench who's coming off a pretty decent year. You know, between him and Bobby Portis off the bench, those two dudes were coming off their best years of their career, and then Bobby goes down for 5 weeks to start the season. Denzel Valentine doesn't play a single game this season, so that was disappointing, but Denzel Valentine played 77 games last year, man, so he stayed healthy for the most part of the season. He played 57 in his rookie year, but I think some of that was caused by the knees, but he's done a okay job of staying healthy. At least last year he did, 77 games, so that was pretty good considering you look at all the players this year. I think Ryan Arcidiacono is the most games played on this team, just over 70, and I think the next highest player is somewhere in the low 60s. That might either be Zach LaVine or I think it's Zach LaVine. So regardless, though, I think injuries are a huge question about this and how they're going to approach that. And, you know, maybe they circle back to questions about, do you think some of these injuries were caused by the difficult practices Jim Boylen was holding, these extended practices when he first started? Some of those questions I think would be valid, you know, as far as backup reasonings, why all of this went down the way it did. And two, Wendell Carter Jr., they said in the report that the tissue in his thumb that ultimately required him to have surgery and end his season, you know, that was deteriorating over time, and that was caused after multiple injuries. And same thing with Chandler Hutchison, too. Like, I want to know how they didn't catch that, why they didn't catch that, and it ultimately made him miss the last two months of the season, which I think were really important for a guy that was a four-year player in college. So,
well, and again, the other factor there is this coach that John Paxson is so in love with is a guy who said last night in his season closing remarks after their loss to Philly, as far as what we need to work on, you know, obviously he highlighted defense. That's going to be a big part of training camp in a few months. But he said we need to get tougher. Now, any young NBA player who's trying to prove himself, trying to prove that he's worthy, trying to prove that he deserves minutes, and try to prove to his coach demanding toughness that he is tough, what did Chandler Hutchison say? Yeah, you know, it was something I was just trying to play through. Zach LaVine playing on a bum ankle in a season where your team doesn't have 20 wins in middle of March. Because why? Because your coach is a tough guy and wants his players to be tough guys. What about that is smart? Seriously, what about that is smart? And what is the potential damage that can be done because your young players are saying, my coach needs me to be tough, and then doubles down or worsens an injury because they think that what the right thing to do for their career and the perception that they have as a tough guy because their coach demands it is to play through an injury.
You know, I think it's not a bad approach if you have a team full of veterans ready to win right now. Then they're willing to give it all, right? But when you're talking about a team that's in the bottom five of the NBA, we got to be realistic about how those injuries can potentially affect the future. And I think that's a major part of this. It's like grinding guys out, like Chris Dunn too. Like, the dude has been dealing with three different injuries this year, a knee injury, an ankle injury, and a back injury. And the dude fell on his ass against the Bucks back in February and wanted to come back in the game when you clearly could see something was wrong with him. So, yeah, I think health, that's a huge point, and I hope they touch on it a bunch, and I hope there's a bunch of follow-up questions to that, too. As far as, I know it's hard to think about this, Matt, but if we can come away with one positive that you could hear from this front office, from John Paxson specifically today, what's a positive that you would come away from and say, okay, you know, he didn't answer everything I wanted him to answer, but at least I took this away and I can bring this into the summer and be a little bit more positive about that, because we just talked about all the negatives for about 20 minutes. So what's a positive that you can take away from this, if any, when you hear him talk later today?
I mean,
is there anything he can say that would make you feel a little bit better about the way this season went and their approach this offseason, realistically?
Realistically, no. It saddens me that that's my answer, but that's my answer. Realistically, from what I expect, what I know about what John Paxson says when he addresses the media and how he says it, realistically, no. There is nothing John Paxson can say today that will make me feel better.
I want to hear them say they're going to be aggressive this summer. Whether that means where they land in the draft, if they're going to be aggressive enough to trade up, if they only end up with the 4th, 5th, 6th, or 7th pick, they're going to do everything possible to try to make this team better and not take another step back or not just ride the wave for next year. Because I think if you do that and you approach next year the same way that you approached this year, I think we're setting ourselves up for failure again, right? And then you're just wasting another year of Markkanen's rookie contract. You're wasting another year of the really good contract you signed Zach LaVine to. You're wasting the second year of Wendell Carter Jr. and whoever else you get in this draft. So I think that's realistic too. And I want to hear some honesty too about Jim Boylen. So if I can hear one of those three or four things, I think I'll feel a little bit better. But realistically, like you said, we're probably going to hear the more of the same spin, and it's going to leave a lot of Bulls fans, you and I both specifically, asking a lot of questions over the next month or two.
Yeah, and you know, as you mentioned Boylen, I guess that's one thing that I could think of real quickly here is something realistically that we might have a question posed to Paxson that he might address and give us some semblance of an answer is, we've heard a lot of different ways why John Paxson likes Jim Boylen and the job he's doing with this young team. I would like someone to ask John Paxson, what do you think Jim Boylen can do better? And see where John Paxson takes that question. Whether it's the way that he handles his team in the locker room, whether it's his coaching style, whether it's the, you know, specific elements of his X's and O's strategy as a basketball coach, not that John Paxson would necessarily tell Jim how to do his job, but just ask John, because we hear nothing but glowing remarks about how great Jim Boylen has been for this young team, what's something Jim can do better? I hope somebody asked John that, because I'm very curious to know the answer.
Yes. Before we do that, I just wanted to give a big thank you to all of our listeners out there who've stuck with us all season long. I know it's been a really difficult season. It's been probably one of the craziest Bulls seasons in the last two decades, right? Like, if you think about all the storylines that we just recapped, and that was probably only a fraction of the ones that we could highlight from this season, but we appreciate everybody that listens to us 5 days a week, whether you started just a couple weeks ago, a couple months, or you've been riding our Locked On Bulls wave since Matt and I joined. We really appreciate you guys. Like, without you guys, we wouldn't be able to continue to do this podcast 5 days a week. And as dedicated and as loyal of fans you guys are to the Bulls, so are Matt and I. And we're excited to see what the summer brings, too. The summer is going to be fantastic. And Matt and I did 5 episodes last year all summer long, and we had a whole hell of a lot of fun. So I expect the same thing from this summer. So keep tuned in to Locked On Bulls all summer long.
Absolutely. I'll echo those sentiments. Really appreciate our listeners all season long. You guys hung in there tough. We appreciate it. And now's the fun part. We made it through. We made it through the doldrums, the back half of another losing season. Now we get to focus our attention on the lottery, potential draft situations, potential draft night trade situations, and then from there, scouting our new young talent on into free agency, all the while getting to watch what should hopefully be some pretty entertaining NBA playoff basketball. So we made it. We did it. Hang with us. Plenty more Locked On Bulls content as we enter the offseason.
Thanks to our guests, too, all season long, that have hopped on, given us time, and provided us with some phenomenal interviews this year. So we'll go back and highlight some of all of those either next week or, we'll go through some of those next week and talk about some of our best interviews from the season. But appreciate literally everybody that's joined our show, extending all the way back to the summer, too. This season started July 1st, 2018. So everybody that's joined the show, and we've had dozens of guests come through Locked On Bulls over the last 2 seasons throughout this rebuild. So excited to see some of the guests and the people that we're going to have on the show over throughout the summer. So that's why all you have to do is keep subscribed to Locked On Bulls, and you will get your Bulls news coverage 5 days a week still going throughout the summer. So no games, but there will still be plenty of content and things to talk about with this team. That's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Hit us up at 331-979-1369. We want to hear from you, so give us your reaction after the John Paxson press conference, addressing the media, addressing the end of this season. We want to hear your reaction. We'll talk about all of that on tomorrow's episode and take some of your reactions. So drop that in voicemail or text message at 331-979-1369. You can tweet at us at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful and interesting day. We'll be back tomorrow to break everything down and lead you into the weekend. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.